In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please sit.
First Sunday of Lent. Now, on Wednesday, we had a service here of Ash Wednesday, and a very important service in the Christian year, because we are preparing ourselves for Lent, and we are reminding ourselves of our mortality. And the priest says these awesome words, quite scary in one sense, but also wonderfully powerful. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. Turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ. And so if you didn't come and was ashed on Wednesday, didn't have a chance to do that, then at the end of the service today, I will give you that opportunity. It's very important indeed. So do come if you didn't get that chance. Now, as we go into Lent, we go into the desert. Why go into the desert and the wilderness? Well, from our reading, you'll know very well, hopefully, that Jesus went into the desert. This was a place of trial and testing after his baptism. And here he confronts Satan head on. And it's a long period, 40 days of fasting. I struggled to go without food for half an hour. 40 days, a long time of fasting. And he has to decide who and what his mission is in the end. What is he about? Why has he come? And as you know, from our shorter reading, we didn't get it in Mark's Gospel today, but in the other Gospels, we get these tests that come his way. And wilderness is an important place for all of us, because these are places where we decide on what really matters. Wilderness is an important place for all of us, because it is a place where we decide what really matters. So I want to ask you a question today. What is your wilderness? Jesus had to go into the wilderness to be tested, to define what he really was. And all of us, in one sense, in our life, can go into places that we might call a wilderness. There's a wilderness of just being alone. Many of you I know live alone, and that in itself can be a struggle. I was in Switzerland for 2 weeks, and I realized I don't like being alone. I was in a flat by myself. I struggled to sleep at night. And I put the radio on, BBC World Service, to keep me sort of amused. The struggle of being alone, and if you don't know that, and many people here know that, it can be a real wilderness. The struggle and wilderness of significant loss. Many here know that too. Some of us struggle to get beyond it. When we've lost somebody that we really loved, we'd committed ourselves to each other for the whole of our lives, and we'd had our marriage and our relationship, and then all of a sudden we lose that, often unexpectedly. Well, what a wilderness of significant loss, particularly desperate when it comes suddenly. The wilderness of long-term illness. Many of us know that too. The wilderness of addiction. The wilderness of debt. The wilderness of family conflict, where maybe we don't get on with another member of the family, perhaps through marriage, and we struggle with that. I've heard of situations recently where families have walked away from each other and they don't really know why, and all of a sudden it causes so much pain and anguish, and we don't talk anymore, and nobody's on the phone, and we can't understand why the conflict and the pain and the separation has come about. It can be a horrendous wilderness, and many of us perhaps are aware of that as well. For me, in my life, 3 times I was made redundant. The first time was most significant because I defined myself for a long time by my work and what I'd done. So when I lost a significant job, my world just literally fell apart. And I went through a wilderness of about 6 months of trying to put my life back together. And maybe you at home today struggle with a situation that your own family, with your children, and you don't know what to do with it, and it's a wilderness. You think, Lord, how am I going to cope with this? For many years, I went through a wilderness of doubt. You might be surprised at this. But I questioned my faith for about 18 months, particularly after doing my A-levels and going into university. And I struggled with the whole idea of the Christian faith. Did I really believe this? Was this just perhaps wish fulfillment? Was my faith really something that I'd inherited from my parents? And really, was it part of me? Was I really owning these ideas of the Christian faith because I really believed them for myself? Or were they inherited and really they didn't have much meaning to me at all? And I went through a long period of doubt whether I believed in the resurrection. Why did Jesus really come to live and die? Why was it possible that maybe only through Christ that people could be saved? I questioned all these things. What about the relationship between faith and science? I was really uncertain for a very long time. Actually, at that time, even though I went through the wilderness of doubt, in some ways my faith was strongest because I was asking the deepest questions, and at the same time, as a result, I realized I had to believe, and I wanted to believe, because I was aware at the time that there are alternatives. So many of us, I think, in our life, we just are in believism. We just believe it for the sake of it. And if people really challenge our faith and say, well, why do you believe that? Why do you go to church? What is this really all about? Do you really believe in the power of prayer? You know, well, why do you believe it? And sometimes many of us would struggle to give a response. And that's because it's believism. We just believe it for the sake of it. And the wonderful thing about my period of doubt about the Christian faith was I came alive to the fact that I really did believe. And my faith was stronger. The wilderness of fear. The wilderness of fear of getting older. I've been with people this week at bedsides of people who were near death, linked up to machines. I thought, wow, is that going to be my end? And maybe you too worry about your getting older, about the fact that all of a sudden already you're realizing that you're losing some of your faculties. Maybe your memory isn't as good. You struggle with the idea of maybe one day you'll be separated from your loved one and you'll be living alone, or perhaps you'll be taken and you'll be put in a home somewhere. Wow, what a wilderness that will be. And so that's why we pray for people like Joyce today. She returns to her home, having been through this significant period of loss. Joyce Nicolay, I'm thinking about. That's a real wilderness for many of us. So how do we cope with a wilderness? Because it never goes away. And if you don't face it today, you will face it tomorrow. Maybe you think to yourself, actually, Lyndon, I tell you what, my life is all right. I am together. I'm contented. I've got nothing to fear. Life is going really well for me at the moment. Well, I can tell you something, that can be a wilderness too. Because sometimes we can have everything, and it doesn't mean very much. It's a very famous saying of Marie Antoinette. She was the richest woman in the world in France. She had everything at her disposal. And she said one day, nothing tastes. Nothing tastes. Because she had everything. But in reality, it was a wilderness. And this is why Lent is so wonderfully important. Because in the wilderness together, where Jesus invites us, where God invites us, this is a place where we can really meet up with who we really are. And find out what's important and how we're really defined. And that's why our baptism is important. And that's why Mark says from his baptism, the Holy Spirit sent him into the wilderness. Because our baptism is what defines us, that we are children of the loving Heavenly Father. He made us for a purpose and we're built for a relationship for Him. We are His beloved children. We're not our popularity. We're not our success. We are not our power. What do I mean by that? The devil says to Jesus in other gospels, he says, turn these stones to bread. wow, he could satisfy the whole world hunger in one movement. No. He doesn't deliver himself to that success. The devil says to him, throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and your angels will hold you. Jesus says, no. He doesn't give himself to popularity and let that define him. And then the devil says, all these kingdoms of the world I will give you if you kneel down and worship me. And again, Jesus says, no, I don't define myself by my power. See, if you really don't know God, you tend to define yourself by your popularity, your power, and your success in life. But through Lent, we discover who we really are. We're children of a Heavenly Father. We're made for a purpose and a relationship with Him, and that should define us. And that's why prayer and fasting, when we're in the wilderness, is what sustains us. And that's why I would encourage you as we go into these 40 days, the next few weeks, and if you haven't already joined one of our groups, commit yourself to prayer and fasting, because this is what sustains us. It's our relationship with the Father that will ultimately sustain us, because all of us, in one sense, are in a wilderness. All of us. We go back to our wilderness. We go back to our homes, and it's a wilderness for many. We go into a future and we're not really certain of what will happen. Who knows? Who knows that Alexei could have been taken to a prison because he protested against what was going on in Russia, and now today he's a dead man? Who would have known that? He's a committed Christian. I can tell you this, what would have sustained him during the wilderness of that northern prison in Russia would have been his relationship with God, and that's what will sustain us. So listen, rediscover the power of prayer and fasting. See, I feel a lot of us come to church and we're on the edge. And we really don't know why we come. A wilderness. Some of us come to church and we just do it out of routine. It's what we've always done. It's like a reflex. What do we do today? We go to church. But we've never really thought about why and whether we really believe it. That can be a wilderness. But why we should really come is because we want to meet with the living God. And then if we meet with the living God, we can face any wilderness. I anointed my sister this week. She's near death in a hospital in South Wales. She's a committed Christian. She knows the Lord. She's been baptized. And as I anointed her, I realized that this is a desperate wilderness for her. She didn't anticipate that. She's young. But the wilderness could be a place of deliverance because she knows the living God. That's wonderful. And that's a freedom. And that's what defines us. So the great thing about the wilderness for all of us, and whatever it is for you today, loneliness, loss, worry about the future, worry about your health, uncertainty, conflicts in family, debt, I don't know, whatever it might be, addiction maybe. If you turn to Christ, come alive to Him, through your baptism, build a relationship with Him, that wilderness can be a place of wonderful growth. It can make you. It can be the place of deliverance. And that's what Lent's all about. So welcome to the vulnerable place. Welcome to the place where things are stripped away, the props are removed. Welcome to a place, the wilderness, we decide what really matters. That's the wilderness. And do you know where Israel met God? They met Him in the wilderness. That's where they were given the commandments, that's where they were given the law, that's where they came alive and came back to who they really were, the wilderness. So don't despise it. Embrace it. It can be our salvation. Amen.